Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the on-demand page and click Share This.
No one should use the health care bill to expand or restrict abortion. And no one should use the issue of abortion to rob millions the opportunity to get good health care.
I believe it's important to respect the conscience of taxpayers, both women and men across the country who don't want taxpayer dollars to support abortions.
Democratic Senators Harry Reid of Nevada and Robert Casey of Pennsylvania debating on the Senate floor yesterday about an amendment to health care reform in the Senate that would forbid federal funding of abortion. The amendment was defeated, of course, 54 to 45. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Wednesday afternoon, the 9th of December. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll begin today's program talking with Wendy Wright of Concerned Women for America about the defeat of the pro-life bill in the Senate, or the amendment there in the Senate. And we'll talk with her about the battle over gay marriage in New Jersey that is underway right now. After our interview with Wendy, we'll spend the rest of today's program talking with Terry Mattingly of Scripps Howard News Service about several subjects. We'll talk with Terry about the Manhattan Declaration and the press's reaction to it, in particular the LA Times reaction. We'll talk about the sacred music of jazz musician Dave Brubeck. You may not have been aware that Brubeck does a little jazz. We'll talk about the movie, number one in America, The Blind Side, and some lessons learned for the church in its dealings with the media. Our call-in number on this Wednesday, December the 9th, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE. You can email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Or you can Twitter us at IssuesETC. Wendy Wright is a regular guest, president of Concerned Women for America, based in Washington, D.C. Wendy, welcome back.
Thank you. Glad to be on.
How big of a blow is the defeat of the Nelson Hatch Amendment in the Senate yesterday?
Well, it makes very clear that the Senate health care bill does pay for abortions. It will subsidize abortions. There's no getting around that. Now, there are some senators and some politicians who are claiming that it won't change anything. In fact, the quote that you played at the opening of, I think it might have been Harry Reid, saying that the bill should not be used to expand or restrict access to abortion. Well, in fact, his bill will vastly expand the number of abortions that are committed. Whenever the federal government pays for something, we get more of it. And the way that the current bill is structured, it will subsidize abortion. So yes, this was a huge blow, but it's also, I think, a blow against the bill itself. And senators like Senator Nelson of Nebraska, who had said that was his line in the sand, that he will not support a bill that will fund abortions. Now he needs to live up to that promise. We're a little concerned that he made strong statements prior to the vote on that amendment, but since the vote, he said things like he doesn't want to be stubborn. Well, when we're talking about the killing of innocent human beings and paying for it through government funding, then that is something you should be proud to be stubborn about.
Are you encouraged that seven Democrats voted in favor of this pro-life amendment?
Yes, that is encouraging because those Democrats had also voted against funding of abortion in some other government programs. So, in fact, we had spotlighted them. We had let our members know about those particular Democrat senators, that they do have a good history of ensuring that our federal funds will not be used to pay for abortion. So it was good to see that they remained true to that position.
Did any Republicans vote against this amendment?
Yeah, there were a couple, the Maine gals, as we call them, the senators from Maine, Senator Collins and Senator Snow, and they do support the idea of our tax dollars being used to pay for elective abortion. So that was true to form. We knew that they were going to vote that way. I do want people to know, though, this is not the final vote. The final vote, what will matter the most, is what's called a vote on cloture on the final bill. And we don't know when that could come up. It could come up this week, could come up next week. If the bill is delayed longer, it could be several more weeks. But I encourage people to sign up for Concerned Women for America's email alerts, because we can let you know as soon as we know that the cloture vote will take place. That is the most critical vote that will happen on the Senate health care bill.
So that will close debate on the bill entirely, and it will kind of set in stone what the Senate wants to vote on eventually. Am I right?
That's right. And it will require 60 votes to pass. And that's why we're more likely to win on that than we will the next vote, which will be the actual vote on the bill itself. And that one would only require a simple majority. So the reason why the cloture vote is so important is it's the one that is most likely to be in jeopardy as far as the bill passing. And that's why, like for Senator Nelson of Nebraska, it's very important for him to come out strongly and say that he will vote against cloture, since this bill will fund abortion.
Back to the issue of the Republicans who voted against the amendment. It's one thing for Senator Collins or Senator Snow to be pro-choice. It's quite another thing, isn't it, to vote knowingly to fund abortion federally?
You're exactly right, and that is the position the seven Democrat senators who voted in favor of the pro-life amendment, that's the position that they have. The majority of Americans do not want to subsidize someone else's elective abortion, and frankly, the abortion movement painted themselves in that corner. They're the ones who say that this is about a woman's choice, and she should be able to do what she wants with her body. We know, of course, that it's not a decision just about her body. It's about another person's life. And it's also very damaging to women as well, that abortion harms women. But they're the ones that say it's a woman's choice. Well, if it's her choice, why should I have to pay for it?
Do you think that pro-life Democrats, obviously far fewer of them in the Senate, will continue to hold out against health care reform legislation if a pro-life amendment isn't included in that legislation?
That is an excellent question that remains to be seen, and it may be determined, the answer to that question may be determined by what their constituents do. I think senators need to hear from their constituents. The two senators who are Democrats who are known as pro-life are Senator Nelson from Nebraska and Bob Casey from Pennsylvania. Now, sadly, Bob Casey has a mixed record on this issue. His father was an absolute stalwart hero when it comes to abortion. He's been a bit weak on the issue. He has voted in committee in favor of pro-life amendments, but when those amendments fail, he then votes in favor of the bill. So in essence, his final vote is in favor of funding of abortion. We're concerned that he voted correctly yesterday on the pro-life amendment, but he may follow that old pattern of then voting in favor of the final bill, which will fund abortion. So it's important, again, I can't stress it enough, that people be contacting their senators and make sure that they know that their constituents don't want to be forced to pay for other people's abortions through this health care bill.
Make the case, if you would, that health care reform, whatever else it needs, absolutely needs a pro-life amendment.
Yes, that's the only way to ensure that the health care reform won't be used to end up subsidizing abortion. And it all has to do with the way the government works. If the bill is silent on it, or the way that it is now, where it creates this accounting scheme, a gimmick that says we'll use these funds but not those funds, essentially what it will do is hand over the authority to bureaucrats or to a commission that will be set up by this bill. The person over with the ultimate authority over those bureaucrats or that commission will be the Secretary of Health and Human Services. That's Kathleen Sebelius, former governor of Kansas, probably the most pro-abortion governor that we had in our country. She was closely tied to the notorious late-term abortionist, George Tiller. She obstructed investigations into illegal activities that had been alleged against abortionists in her state. She consistently voted against every single pro-life amendment and voted in favor of every pro-abortion bill while she was in the state legislature and while she was governor. She has the most extreme position that has ever existed when it comes to abortion. She will be the person, the czar in charge of health care reform if this bill passes. Much of the bill is being written in rather vague terms, which means it's, in essence, the senators handing off all that authority to her to essentially write what this bill will be.
With about a minute here before we take a break, Wendy, a reaction, if you would. Senator Barbara Boxer of California stated yesterday that this amendment, the amendment that failed yesterday, amounted to, quote, the biggest rollback of a woman's right to choose in decades. Your response with about a minute.
It simply upholds the existing federal law. Right now, federal law says that our tax dollars cannot be used to pay for elective abortions. It's just out of the realm of fantasy to say that this will roll back. It simply upholds what is current law.
Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois says that health care reform legislation would lead to fewer abortions with about 30 seconds. How do you respond?
Not if the health care reform ends up paying for abortions. We know that during the years after Roe versus Wade and before the federal law was put in place to restrict funding of abortions, that each year $300,000 were spent in federal funds to pay for abortions. So we know that'll be about the minimum of what will be spent each year if the health care reform does not explicitly restrict funding of abortion.
Well, when we come back, we'll talk with Wendy Wright of Concerned Women for America. Continuing our conversation, we'll turn to the subject of the battle over gay marriage in New Jersey. It went down in New York. What will happen in New Jersey? We'll find out what Wendy Wright of Concerned Women for America thinks about that on the other side of the break. Then Terry Mattingly will join us. We'll spend the rest of today's program on this Wednesday afternoon, December the 9th, talking with him about several issues, the Manhattan Declaration and the press's reaction to it, the sacred music of jazz musician Dave Brubeck. Did you know that he wrote a mass? The movie The Blind Side, among the subjects we'll talk with Terry Mattingly here in about 5 minutes on Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Pacifica, California. Messiah Lutheran, Danville, California. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California. Our Savior Lutheran, Grand Rapids, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Brookfield, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. St. John's Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crestwood, Missouri. Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas. St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas. University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado, St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas, Peace Lutheran, Alma, Michigan, Zion Lutheran, Imperial, Nebraska, and Trinity Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues, Etc. 300.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues, Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues, Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the on-demand page and click Share This.
Here's a new way to stay connected to Issues, Etc. Check out our page on Facebook. Network with fellow Issues, Etc. junkies. Sign up to become a fan, and we'll send you updates on future topics and guests. You'll even find photos of in-studio guests, Todd drinking chelada, and highlights from our one-year anniversary open house. You'll discover that Todd, Jeff, and Craig really do have faces for radio on Facebook. Issues Etc. on Facebook. Another way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Facebook.com/IssuesETC.
It's fair that everyone else's parents can get married without asking anyone, and I have to stand here in front of everyone and ask if my parents can get married.
We should have the same rights as everybody else, and it's very demoralizing.
Several voices in the debate over same-sex marriage in New Jersey. Wendy Wright is our guest for the next few minutes, president of Concerned Women for America based in Washington, D.C. You're watching this debate, Wendy. What's going on with regard to gay marriage in New Jersey, and how do you respond to the arguments that it's simply not fair that same-sex couples don't have the legal right to marry as everyone else might?
Well, you may recall that there was an election in New Jersey just a couple of weeks ago, and the Democrat governor was voted out. He had promised that he would pursue this idea of same-sex marriage, but he lost the election to someone who was not in favor of same-sex marriage. Same kinds of things happened with the legislators, and now they're in a lame duck session, and they're taking advantage of it to try and pass this legislation, even though they clearly know that the voters of New Jersey don't want it. And the reason why I can say that with such confidence is if they believed the voters wanted same-sex marriage, they would allow it to go up for a referendum and let the voters themselves decide it. But instead, the voters did decide to sweep them out of office, and they're trying to impose this on the residents of New Jersey in the weeks that they have left before they leave office. Now, as far as whether this is fair or not, there was an interesting point that was made during the debate in New Jersey that it would be discriminatory to say that only two people can get married, that it should be fine then for three or four people to marry, or for a father to marry a daughter, because otherwise it would be so-called discrimination. Of course we discriminate in our laws and in our culture. Discrimination oftentimes is a good thing. It's upholding what is right and moral. And for those that want to have certain benefits, like I want to be able to visit my partner in the hospital, those kinds of arrangements can be made without changing the definition of marriage. And what we found in countries that do allow for same-sex marriage is that the entire concept of marriage disintegrates to the point then that fewer people get married, which means that children are the ones who pay the worst price for that. The children are left without a mother and a father, two things that they desperately need.
Wendy Wright is president of Concerned Women for America based in Washington, D.C. You'll find a link to Concerned Women for America under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Wendy, thank you very much for being
thank
our
you.
Guest.